If you'd take your Bible, let's stand together. We're going to begin to read at verse 9. I have spoken to so many people this last week. People are pretty edgy. People are really pretty jumpy about what's going on in our country. I get text people say, did you see this on YouTube? And did you see this? Did you see this? Did you hear about this? What's going on in America? And I wish for some of you could have been here this morning to listen to my sermon on how we ought to live as Christians in our government. Hopefully, Bree can get that on the internet quickly, and you can listen to that. I thank you for people who work in Junior Church. You got a great compliment from Sarah this morning. She says, "Boy, that was run really nice." And my little granddaughter Emma says, "Boy, I like going to your junior church." And so thank you for all the work you folks put into it and do the things. We are privileged to have that. But tonight I want to just remind us that we are still in God's hands. I want to remind you that safety comes from God. We have a lot of things going on, and we need to encourage our wives and our children that God is still on the throne, and God knows what's going on, and He loves us. And so tonight I want to bring you a message. He shall give His angels charge over thee. I'm glad that, you know, let me preface this. We are not to pray to angels. That is not our responsibility. Angels are ministering spirits. They are from God. They come and help us. I've heard a number of people tell me a story about something happened and some person that they had never seen before speak their name, help them out, and all of a sudden they just kind of vanish into, just gone. And I don't normally talk about that much. My wife and I were, she was helping me get ready. It was 3 o'clock in the morning on a Monday morning. I was heading to Seattle to Philippines, Narita in Philippines, and they had a terrible earthquake in Seattle that day. And this is the mission trip that I took. We had 6,400 saved in 5 days, and I cautiously talked about it, but my wife somehow got a flight into Spokane instead of Seattle, because Seattle was still down. But if I couldn't get to Seattle at a certain time, I wouldn't be able to get on the flight, the international flight. Well, she worked her magic on the computer and on the phone, and got me to Spokane into, and then I flew into Seattle, and it's quite eerie there. There's hardly any people there. Windows broke out of the tower, you know, the airport tower, and a lot of things pretty crazy there. And when I got there, I come out, and I wasn't sure how I was going to get to the international airport. There's the regular airport, and then there's the international side. And a man came up to me, a great big guy, and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm heading to the Philippines." He said, "So you're going international?" So he said, "What you need to do is come down here, get on the tram." And he said, "Ride it over to the," and he said, "You have a good day, Sheldon." And I got on the tram, and all of a sudden he's there. And the tram stopped me. He said, "This is where you get off." And I got off, and he pointed at me like that. I never seen him again. Great big, handsome fella, and kind of looked like me. But anyway, I've seen some of those things happen, but we're not to make a do about it. There's some things that Paul the Apostle wouldn't even talk about. But there are ministering angels that help us. Amazing things. But we're never to pray for them. Every time you ever see an angel ministering to someone, what do they tell him? "Don't get up. Don't bow to me." Why? Because that's what happened to Satan. He wanted the people to bow to him, and those angels said, no, get up. I'm like one of you." And so I want to talk to you about ministering angels tonight just for a second. I think that we need to understand there are some spiritual things going on that some people don't even know. And that's a blessing. And I know a lot of guys in the military, certain things happen during the war and foxholes and things like that. They quietly tell a few things, but never tell it all. Psalm 91 says, in beginning of verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, that's a snake, and the young lion and the dragon, yes, there was a dragon back in those days, shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I shall answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Then he says, look at this now. This is for the man that gives his heart to God and asks God to do his will. He says this, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight as we're looking at this magnificent portion of Scripture. Lord, in a time of troubles and heartaches that we're seeing today, we certainly need one who would come and help us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are there for us. And thank you for this great thought here in the Bible, that you love us and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but that blesses my heart when I read something that's in the Bible. It's a great thought. It's a great, amazing statement. First of all, God is before me. He will be my guide. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things in my life that I need a guide. I need someone to help me. I need somebody to lead me along. There are some of you families here today that got little babies, little children, and you need some guidance. You need some help raising those little ones. Some of you have teenagers. God bless you, amen. And you need some guidance and encouragement and to making sure that what you're doing illustrates the love of Jesus Christ in your heart and your life, and they're watching you. I heard one man said that our children are like spies in our home. You know, they're watching us. They're seeing what we do. They're seeing how we act. They see if we're paying our bills. We're seeing if they're grumpy or complaining. They're seeing all this stuff that's going on. They're seeing times about being faithful in church. They're seeing things about being faithful to serve the Lord. They're seeing things in your life that you promised to do something and you just kind of blow it off. They see all that stuff. And wouldn't you say amen to that? They all see it. And so I need a guide. I am today, I'm a little older than I was yesterday, and there are some things that I'm coming into that I'm not sure how I'm supposed to respond. I just got a note from my cousin today, my uncle, Pastor John Shearer, Uncle Johnny, is going to be 100 years old on Thanksgiving. And he is having some memory loss now. And it's really concerning the four girls and the boy. And they have just made a decision that they're going to put him in a home. He's been in assisted living right now. He's had two people taking care of him. He is not. They can't leave him without 24 hours a day. Somebody's got to get with him. I understand that. But we've never been down some of these roads before. It's new to us. Some of us are new when we send our boy off to the military. Never done that before. You didn't think much about when you took off. But now it's a personal thing. new things about just being married and how life goes on as being married. And then the children come and, good night, what am I going to do with this little thing that cries all the time, you know? And it keeps me awake. Oh, how will I ever have enough? I can't get any sleep. But it's amazing how God made parents young, amen? And then all of a sudden you start getting these children that, oh my goodness, I've got to send our first one to school. And then the first one in junior high. And then the first one in high school. And then the last one you send to school. And the last one you send to junior high. And the last one you send to high school. And then you have this graduation thing. And then you have, of course, marriage. I'm not ready to see my daughter married yet, you know, or my son married yet. And so there's a progression in our lives that all of us seem to not know. There's a progression in life that seems that none of us know what's going on for the next day. And we're kind of in quandary. Many of us fake it real good, amen? Come on. We fake it pretty good, amen? Yeah, I know that's going to happen. Well, I heard that's going to happen. You know, kind of like the little girl is going to, little wife is going to have her first baby. You know, oh, I really don't know. Yeah, I've heard about it. I've never experienced it. And I don't know. You know, and it's quite a traumatic thing. And all of a sudden, you have your baby and you join the club of ladies that had children. And it's a new, and it's not a new thing anymore. It's, hey, you know, we know what's going to happen. So in our life, we are always looking for a guide. May I encourage you to take your Bible out and read your Bible every day. Every day. Take it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you can get it. Most of it have it on our phone. Most of it have it on our iPad. Most of it have it on our computer. Most of it have, we are accessible. I have a wonderful thing. I have Alexander Scobie, and I can get in my car and I can turn it on, and the Bible is being read as I drive down the road. Amen. And I can hear it all the time. The other day I went to a funeral over to Laurel, and I listened to the Bible all the way over there. Listen all the way back, all by myself, me and Jesus in the Bible, amen. It was good, amen. So we need a guide. We need someone to encourage us, to teach us. He says in Psalm 31:3, and I'd put this down in my Bible if I would, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me." For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. The world, I've said this morning, the world, I've said it 100,000 times, the world, this world is about, is going on. I am not the center of this world. God is the center of the world, and everything is to glorify my Heavenly Father. You'll figure out in your life that the more you check out those things and trust the Lord, and the better off you're going to be, amen. Look at Psalm 32 and verse 8. "I will instruct thee and teach thee out. In the ways which thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eyes." Wow. I tell young preachers, you need to make sure your children, that your children behave themselves. They need to behave themselves. The Bible said if a preacher don't have his family under subjection, he can't, how can you have the church under subjection? And I said, you ought to be able to guide your children by your eyes, by your eyes. Child sitting up there, oh yeah, and my boys used to do it. I'd be sitting there, I'd look at them like, I'd just kind of give them that cross-eyed look like, boy, they'd sit up. I want to be able, that God would guide me, and I want to be watching God, and he goes like that, and I'm, okay, Lord, I won't do it. Amen. And that should be our ways. So he'll guide us with his eyes. Psalm 48, verse 14, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will guide, he will be our guide even unto death." I want God to be my guide all the way to death. I don't want to pull over and park. I don't want what happened to Saul when God says, I ain't going to answer your prayer no more. I don't want to ever be there. I want to be close to God. I want to be serving God in every way I can. Secondly, not only is he before me is my God, but he also is behind me. And no ill can betide. Psalm 139, verse 5, thou shalt beset me behind and before and lay thy hand upon me. Boy, what a promise is that, amen. I'm before you, I'm behind you, I'm looking after you, amen. Aren't you glad you serve a God like that? Huh? Aren't you glad you serve a God like that? He's in front of you, and he's behind you, he's taking care of all things. He also, God is beside me. What? To comfort and cheer me. Psalm 23:2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Isaiah 44:8, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee for that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any, God said. I just want you to know that this is the pure God. Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girdeth thee, though thou hast not known me. He said, I want you to know that even times you don't even know I'm there. I'm there. I'm taking care of you. Some of you guys in the military know what I'm talking about right there. Times that things happen and all of a sudden you come back to base and they say, do you know what happened, was going on here? And I said, oh, this is what happened. And God looked after you. And also, God is around me. So why should I fear? 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Now listen, I want you to get this. I want to encapsulate this in your heart. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. God says, let me tell you something. I want you to trust me. I love you. And you don't have to fear whether I love you or not. There are some people that are so afraid of losing their salvation, so afraid that they have done so many bad things that God can't forgive them. Let me tell you something. God said, I will forgive all. God said, I'll forgive all. And so he says, I don't want you to fear my love. I want you to understand that I love you. I care for you. I am not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I will always be with you. So I want you to understand, don't fear that. Because if you fear, your love, that love is not made perfect. You cannot, it doesn't work that way. Hey, listen, husband and wife, listen to me. What if you fear whether or not your husband really loves you or not? Or you fear your wife really doesn't love you enough? What does that do to your marriage? It crushes it. It just crushes it. But if you say, you know what? My wife loves me no matter what. My husband loves me no matter what. I know that he'll always love me. Boy, what does that do to your heart? Huh? Woo! Yeah! It's okay. It's great. But boy, you get that thing going in there, and you're wondering, you're thinking, and boy, I tell you, it's tearing you apart. See, the Bible says there's no fear in love. Love is this: I love you so much, I would not do anything to you to hurt you, shame you, or take advantage of you. I love you that much. That's true love. And on an opposite, the wife says the same thing back. Let me remind you that God can solve every problem if you go to him. God can lift every burden if you go to him. He can direct your every step. The things that happen to you and you just can't understand and driving you crazy, be still and know that I'm God. And heal every broken heart. He'll heal every broken heart. Some of you sitting here today, you got a broken heart. You got a broken heart. God can heal that broken heart. But most of all, He can cleanse us from every sin. I hope tonight that you'll go by rejoicing and praising God and realize that God, you have a God that loves you. There's none else. You have a God that will look after you and care for you. He'll love you. He'll protect you. Now you go running off and you play the prodigal. There's a few things going to happen. But in happening, He loves you. He loves you. He's trying to get you back. And try everything He can to get you back to serve Him. Because He loved you. What an amazing God. What an amazing God we have. What an amazing God we serve. Troubles come. Heartaches come. God's still on the throne. Does God know what's going on? Did it surprise God what's going on? Not going to surprise Him. All things work together for good. To them that love God, them are called according to His purpose. All things. It doesn't say this one thing made it perfect. But these things that are happening are making it perfect for God, for you. He makes you better. You guys ever work out and you gals ever work out and know that when it starts to burn, know when you get tired, know when you're just about it, so exhausted you can't go, you just push a little bit more. Just getting the coward out of you. Amen. Just keep pushing. Just keep going. When things don't seem like it's all coming together, just keep going. Don't quit. And God said, I love you. And all things, in all these things, they're working together for good. To them that love God, and them that called according to His purpose. You say, but I don't see how this can be good. Hey, why don't you just hang around a little bit and see what God's going to do for you. Some of the craziest things that I thought were the nuttiest things are the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. I say, good night. Why, Lord, why do I have to do this? Why did this have to happen? Why did I have to break that? Why did I? And after a while, you see the hand of God in this thing. And you're going like, I better shut my mouth. I better just hang up and hang on, amen? And trust God. Trust the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Don't lean on to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And God will certainly give you rest in that. Father, I pray You'd help us tonight. Thank You for loving us and caring for us, Lord. We've heard from heaven. And we know that You're there. Lord, the atrocities that are happening across this world to Christians, Paul the Apostle says, I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He figured it out. God, help us to trust You and read our Bible. And Spirit of God, would You show us? Would You lighten our lives? Would You turn the light on so that we could understand these things, so that we wouldn't be complaining, but we would be praising the Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for protecting us and watching over and caring for us. Lord, help us as we go to our separate ways tonight. Help us to be safe. Keep our country safe. Be with our president tonight, Lord, and the vice president, and the cabinet, and the Congress, and Senate, and all the governmental officials. Be all, Lord Jesus, with all our first responders. Lord, this has been a tough week. Lord, give us a new week today. And Lord, may we serve You and realize that when things happen, may we praise the Lord and trust You in it. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Will you pray for me? Father, be with us tonight. Speak to us as we serve You. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.